Okay. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, will you please come and equip me and fill me and help me to share your word. And I pray that you will rest gently on all of us and speak to each of us what you want to speak to us about. In your name we pray. Amen. Right. This is not all my words, just so you know. This is my disclaimer. So we'll thank Mr. Roy Harrisville for giving me a chunk of what I'm going to talk about. So, we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus' first miracle, which is a very, very private miracle. It was subdued and quiet. It was in a flashy show of divine power, and very few people saw it. Very few people knew what had actually happened. And he was very reluctant to do anything at that event anyway. According to scripture, it wasn't meant to happen. It wasn't this time. He himself didn't think it was time. But in obedience to a very persistent mother, he did perform what has become one of the most famous miracles. You know how mothers like to persuade, slow, gingerly push their children to do things even when they don't want to. Oh, you can sing, can't you? Oh, please do a song. That's what Mary was doing. But it wasn't as fickle and flippant as that. Mary had total faith in our Lord Jesus. She knew him more than anybody else. She knew he was the Son of God. Sorry, I'm afraid I don't like this on my chin, but never mind. Is it better? Yeah, okay. She knew him. Earlier on, I was saying, let's look back. Okay, Jesus must have been 30 by now. About 17 years earlier, Jesus had, my maths is really bad, but on the way back from the Passover, Jesus went missing. They couldn't find him. Both Joseph and Mary were quite anxious, and they looked for him. It's the same Mary who had been spoken to by the angels and knew that Jesus was the Son of God. By her youth, her faith was still growing. I think this shows that our faith don't start from there or start and remain there. It grows as we go in the relationship with Christ. I'm sure Chris's faith is growing, even though he's a vicar. He hasn't stopped. And I'm sure we all would like our faith to continue to grow. And this is where Mary was at. That worried mother who was looking furiously all over the place for her 12-year-old son has come to a place where she's more confident and knows for sure that this is the Son of God. This is the Mary who pondered what the angel had told her and was graciously growing more and more in faith. And we can all be like that. So she had faith. She knew without a doubt that Jesus would perform a miracle, would turn the water into wine. It's that confidence, that quiet confidence in her son. The hosts had run out of wine. The wedding celebrations would have ended if there was nothing to drink. As you know, when you go to a party and there's no drink, most people go home. They don't drink cups of tea. Well, in England, they probably do. And but Mary mentions this to her son. And Jesus replies with a sentence that has puzzled many scholars. Was it a rebuke? Was it a mild objection? Was he being cheeky? Was he being rude? Even if he was, clearly, Jesus' mum, Mary, didn't seem perturbed by it at all. So she goes ahead and tells the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. It's that just quiet confidence, that quiet confidence with which And I long for that. I'm sure most of you do, that you to have to be absolutely sure that without a doubt, He will do it. He will give. He will answer a prayer. Sometimes He doesn't. But isn't it wonderful that at a point you were absolutely resting in Him and were confident? So whether or not He answers is important, but you had a peace because you trusted. Mary knew her son was going to turn the water into wine. I've been reading different versions of the Bible. The NIV said, Jesus said to His mother, "Dear woman, why do you involve me in other people's affairs?" I think. And the Good News says, "You must not tell me what to do." Yeah. It's a great thing many parents hear sometimes, but hey. But He did. He did. Mary said to Him, "There's a problem." Didn't even say fix it, just told them there's a problem, knowing He'd fix it. He whinges, and then He goes on and delivers. And it's just, I could just talk about this for the rest of the evening, but I have to carry on because I've borrowed words to use. He said His hour hadn't come. His hour refers apparently to His death and resurrection and ascension. It was too soon for wondrous events in Jesus' ministry, but He still delivered. He still performed a miracle. The stone jars at the wedding would have been huge containers capable of holding 18 to 20 gallons of water each. There were 6 of them. Not only were there enough wine for the whole village now, the wine was even better than the first one that was served. It is at the end of the story that we read the meaning of it and the significance of the timing, faith, and glory. The head waiter made the ironic statement that the wine, the good wine, had been served, had been saved until now. Of course, nobody serves the good wine first. You read it twice. And this was a symbolic way of saying that Jesus is better than what had come before. Not my words, it's somebody else's words. But it is true. We'd had many prophets who had come. We had John the Baptist, and he himself said he wasn't good, in similar words, that he wasn't even fit to tie our Lord Jesus' sandals, shoes, shoelaces, trainers. Yes, there were not a patch on our Lord Jesus, and He was what we're waiting for. He was the apex. He is the apex of God's glory. In God's own timing, the Messiah has come. When the guests were getting parched and the hosts getting nervous, and there was nothing they were going to do but to shut the party, it was at this point that Jesus quietly intervenes. When our backs is against the wall, when things go really rough and we think, oh dear, what are we going to do? He sneaks in quietly sometimes when we least expect it. It may not have been the most convenient time for our Lord, but because of the need at the moment and the request of His mother, He did what had to be done. We used to have these bracelets, which says, which was pray until push, was it? Yeah, something happens. Yeah, it may not be the time, but sometimes it may not be. Sometimes It may not be the time that God had planned, but when we push, it's like that widow who just hounded the judge, the unjust judge, and hounded him and hounded him. He granted her her request. It wasn't time, but Jesus listened to his mother. The same way he hears us. And he will do what has to be done. It might not be the way we expect it to be, but he does. God is responsive to our needs, all our needs. People might think wine at a wedding is trivial, it's not important, but it was important to the family. And he delivered. Our cries for help, for our health, for our finances, our jobs, our relationship, our children, our marriages, are important to him. The small things in our lives and the big things. And sometimes the huge miracles with flashing lights, and sometimes it's quietly in the back. There are people who come to question the divine response to human suffering and have concluded that there's no God. But this quiet miracle belies that conclusion by suggesting that sometimes God does his work without taking a newspaper ad. He does. I'm sure every single one of us here has had a quiet miracle. And for me, a miracle is anything that we pray for that comes true, that Jesus hears and responds. Jesus does his work in such a fashion that it is often misunderstood and misinterpreted. We are never going to understand him. He's Jesus. What we can do is trust him. And going back to the people who question the suffering, human suffering and not believe in God, the fact is God has responded to human suffering in the suffering and death of his only son. It's just that many are not satisfied with this response. But when you look at it, that was an answer to prayer. Our Lord Jesus dying for us is the ultimate sacrifice, is the ultimate miracle. Because he takes our sins upon himself and we are saved. This quiet miracle is the manifestation of God's glory, but not many actually saw it. It was the waiters. I don't know if any of his disciples saw what happened, but his mother knew, and the waiters saw it. And there was no fanfare about it at all. God's glory is not what humans expect it to be. His glory is not for mere display, but has a purpose to fulfill his promise, his service to his creation. In Christ Jesus, the very nature of glory is being redefined. It is glory with a silent purpose and aim to create and maintain faith in Christ Jesus, who responds to human need in ways that seem hidden and mysterious, but whose deeds are open to the eyes of faith. So let all of us, like Mary, mother of our Lord Jesus, have faith, the kind of faith that made her gently go up to her son and say, "They've run out of wine, boy." The kind of faith that made her accept the angel's word. It's tough, it's very difficult, but let's try. We live in the world where, because of science, we want to see that A plus 1 plus 1 makes 2. Sometimes 1 plus 1 makes 7. Let's try and believe before we see and trust that God will do things for us, will hear us. Faith is believing in things unseen. And let's remember that He's able to do more than we ask for. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, to him who by means of his power working in us is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think about. Let's take a moment and imagine that and put our faith in him. That if he can turn water into wine and walk on water and rise after 3 days, he can do so much more.